The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is managing risk to reap the rewards of new technology. Our guests for today's show are Tom Kluwert, who is the VP of IT Enterprise Solutions with Exelon Corporation. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Great, great. Now, we also have Urs Fischer, who's the lead developer for the ISACAS Risk IT Framework, and who's also the Vice President and Head of IT Governance and Risk Management for Swiss Life Group. Good morning, Urs.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, sir?
Fine, thanks.
So how's Switzerland? Beautiful as always?
Beautiful as always. Even the weather is very beautiful.
Very nice. Now, so the topic today that we have picked up, it's risk, and we have, everybody always aware of what the risks are. But now the angle that we wanted to take today is that we always are trying to get new technologies introduced in our organizations. But then at the same time, there is a skepticism out there, which is, in a way, rightfully so, that new technologies will bring new risk. So if we are just oblivious about it, or if you are too paranoid about it, either way, you would have, you will not be able to get the most utilization of that new technology. And we know that the risk would come in a variety of forms. Some people say it will reduce the value that it may bring, the technology may bring to an enterprise. Others would say that could totally destroy. So when you are truly going in an organization and trying to adopt a new technology, how do you go about setting a mindset for everybody who is a stakeholder in introduction of this new technology? Tom?
Well, actually, I think you've really captured the paradox that most IT projects present to a business, and that is that they represent both great benefit and they also represent great potential risk as the introduction of the new technology is occurring. I think that it's important to keep in mind as IT leaders that we really have a fiduciary duty to our business clients, our customers, if you will, to make sure that we describe not only the benefits associated with a project as it's starting out, but really the inherent risks associated with it in an equal and balanced way. Several years ago, I was brought in to help a manufacturing company implement a supply chain system. And I was brought in at the time when the benefits were fully described. The project was completely sold to the organization. And unfortunately, nobody had really spent time with the business explaining the potential risks. In this specific case, they had a very strict requirement on the quality of the data that the technology would require in order to work effectively for the supply chain division. And unfortunately, management had not been made aware of that. So my point is here that once you pass that point of having made the business case, it's almost too late to back up and reassess based on new risks. You have to be, as an IT leader, at the table early and educating clients not only on the benefits and pushing on benefits, but equally aware of the potential risks. Once you pass that initial window of opportunity, it's very hard as an IT leader to back up a client to that discussion after you get the project started.
Urs, what do you think?
In my point of view, actually, also how we defined it more or less based at the new framework from ISACA is IT risk is business risk, means also the business risk associated with the use, ownership, operation, influence, and all the adoption of IT within the whole organization or enterprise you are in. and it consists of IT-related events, means all these events impact in some way the business. So it's, in my opinion, there is no IT risk as IT risk specific. In my view, it's still always, it's something, it's a business risk, but related on an IT event. And we categorized or defined the IT risk or the IT-related business risk like that. You have three special areas, and one is IT benefit, but also value enablement. Means it's associated with opportunities to use technology to improve efficiency or effectiveness. Means the opportunities you can miss or you can realize them. We have also defined that another part is IT program and project delivery risk. This I don't have to explain more in detail. The name says it already. And we have as a search that should be also clear IT operations and service delivery risk. But what you have to keep in mind all the time is that for all categories of these three IT risks, there is normally an equivalent upside, means when I can explain it in service delivery. If service delivery practices are strengthened, the enterprise can benefit, for example, by being ready to absorb additional transactions, volumes, or market share. Or in project delivery, new functions could be brought by project delivery results. So in my opinion, or in our opinion, you should always look as well at the risks, but also at the benefits, the opportunities you have.
Now, we always talk about, as you said, that you know it's basically a business risk. Now, we also have this situation where while we are introducing something new, you might also experience regression, which is, you know, you might go and break something else. Now, is that risk that people at the business level care about, or that is something IT has to deal with internally?
Break the resistance by business or by other stakeholders, in my opinion, should be with both. You have a project leader normally from IT, but you have also a leader from the business. In our company, there are no or just maybe very, very few, so really business project or IT project. So these two have to work very close together and have to break the resistance from the stakeholders in their area of responsibility.
Now, Tom, in your organization, how risk-averse or, you know, how skeptical, how paranoid? How do you rate the level of risk tolerance, if you will, that's there?
Well, I actually think that there's probably not one answer to that question. It really depends on each stakeholder that you're dealing with. Some have a more intimate knowledge of the IT risks that are involved in a project because they've been through it before, and some are less familiar with that. So I think the real challenge is, and by the way, let me just say something. I really agree with what Ert said relative to there really is no such thing as a IT project or a business project. It's really you have to have both stakeholders equally at the table to manage the introduction of new technology effectively, to realize the benefits, and also to make sure that you're managing the risks effectively. So to your point, you may be sitting across the table from someone in the business who has worked on a project before and is aware of those risks, or you may not be in that situation. Your goal as a leader in IT is to make sure that you're able to translate the IT, the risk an IT individual can see into the business terms that the business can understand so that the true business implications can be discussed and vetted, and then the risk mitigation plans can be put in place. So I think that's a constant struggle, is to make sure that IT risks are identified, but then put in terms of business implications and risk mitigation plans. And again, I'll just have to highlight, I think, Urs's point about no business or IT projects, but just a project with both stakeholders at the table is key in that discussion.
So, Urs, like Tom mentioned, that it depends on the stakeholder. But can we be that subjective when it is coming down to identifying the level of risk that each technology could bring about? Because you should not be people dependent on something like evaluating risk for an organization based on what technology you're introducing.
It's difficult to say, actually, how to do when you are with the stakeholders. But as Tom also said, you have to really sit together with them and look at it. And yeah, I don't know where you want to head for your answer, but to have a risk assessment for such things, certain technologies or so, in my opinion, there is no possibility or mostly no possibility in IT areas that you could quantify these risks because you don't have the statistical data for quantification methods and so on. So you have to really do it more on a stomach basis with really the stakeholders that are involved, that in discussions at the end you can come up with the risks. And all can agree with all these risks.
Tom, I'll bring the question back to you when you did mention, Urs says that it's not as straightforward an answer, but then you got to have an answer for something like this because you cannot be subjective about your risk tolerance across the organization based on each individual that you're talking to. And the people come and go, so you cannot be changing your risk profiling based on that, right?
I mean, no, that is true. I think I'm reflecting more in terms of how you bring your stakeholder to a equal level of understanding of the risk framework or the risk tolerance
mm-hmm.
that the company has or that the business unit has. They know the business risk. What they're not always familiar with is how that IT risk may implicate the business operations or the business risk. That's your job to help that dialogue evolve and then to together to figure out how that fits within the overall risk tolerance of the corporation. So if you have an enterprise risk management framework that sets the standard for how risk should be measured and reported and mitigated, that framework has to be in effect, but it can only be effective if both IT and the business are communicating around the risks in each other's terms.
Let's take a quick break. Listeners, we'll be right back after these messages and look at the two sides of the camp. One is who knows too much about IT, the others who relatively know nothing. And that could also bring about two different angles of how they recognize and or interpret the risk that may be existing based on adoption of a new technology or as the new technology is being evaluated to be brought on board. So how do you make such technology decisions where the stakeholders could come from both sides and from both camps? And how can you make the best of each technology that you can bring on board? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Hello, this is Red Hat. The vast majority of cloud computing solutions being built today are using open source technologies. In fact, industry analysts tell us that 80% of early clouds are using open source as the key infrastructure. Most of these are being built by Red Hat customers. The benefit for end customers in the entire industry is a new level of openness and interoperability that only open source enables. We at Red Hat, along with our customers in the open source community, are proud to be leading the charge to this new model of computing.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So we assume have an IT, a new technology to be adopted, and then we've got business in one camp and IT folks in the others. And maybe we can make this assumption, or we can validate this assumption as well, that business knows almost nothing about the technology, the new one that has been brought on board, and IT knows quite a bit. So both sides could introduce paranoia because of knowing too much or knowing too little. So if you have certain things like these happening, how do you go about making the decision, or how do you go about even evaluating what this technology can bring to the table, and having these two totally different polar constituents on the table? Urs, what do you think?
I think in our case what we do is we have something like a translator between to get the requirements or the evaluation and everything, and that or the account managers, they are between the business and the IT. And when you go on, and these have defined in our project development methods, the first request, they show it to a so-called sponsor committee, because budget is just on side of business. And the different business areas have their own budget and have also their own sponsor committees with the head of this department and so on. And that's actually the project initial request they come with new technology or so. It will be looked at. Next step is then a so-called planning offer, where they come, the project comes again, also together with the account managers, they develop it from both sides, come with different alternatives. And then in this phase, the sponsor committee picks one of the alternatives, which is further followed up. That goes then in a so-called realization offer and in the realization phase. That's the way how we do it, actually, with the different sponsors. And we have also coordinating the whole thing above these sponsor committees through an IT steering committee.
You mentioned something very interesting, that you got to have a translator. Who would you like the translator to be, typically? Because you could either have IT or business. Who's there in between?
That's, in our case, they are different. That's the account manager, and we have different accounts or business partners, and they are on the IT side. But the education is normally more either both. Knowledge they should have, so from IT as well also from business. So they come from both parts and are educated on the other part, or involved in stages, and so on, to really get them the information from the other part they don't have at the moment. So it doesn't matter actually if they come from business or from IT, but we will educate them as well, so that they have at the end both knowledge and can be really such an account manager can really be a translator between the two.
Now, Tom, what's happening in your organization, or what else have you seen happening out there when you have these two different camps?
Actually, I think the one thing that Urs had mentioned is very useful for us, too. We try to move projects through stages with very, very formal kind of sign-offs at each stage. So we might have a project that moves from a planning and analysis stage that spends a very small percentage of the overall budget, but frames out the business case and the costs and the risks associated with it. Then we'll go through a requirements and design phase at a much more lower level of detail and put much more meat on the bones for both the benefits and the project costs and risks. At each stage, though, there's an expectation that we are becoming more educated along the journey, both as business and IT, in working together. And we have very formal checkpoints to be able to realize when we've made a miscalculation, and we get to reassess based on that. So I think in this case, the important thing is to realize that those dialogues between the business and IT are going to evolve each other's perception of the interplay of business and technology risk, and that you have to have a project methodology and a governance framework that can allow those new discoveries around risk or appreciation of risk to be vetted and to impact any next step for a project. Some projects get authorized and they go all the way through to implementation without ever stopping to have a checkpoint along the way to reassess or to make sure that there's no new information that would cause the original benefits or the original risks or costs to be questioned. I think that's a very ineffective way to run a project that likely ends up in people diminishing risk as they go because they don't have a framework for being able to vet them and to highlight them.
Now, would there be a set of debates or disconnects or conflicts that you will see between the two constituents, which usually kind of take you to a stalemate? And, of course, you have to resolve that to move forward. But then what are those? What are the typical ones that you see?
Probably the largest issues are around when risks or new information results in a potentially different price tag for the technology project or for the project itself, and whether or not you're in an environment that supports that kind of dialogue and open and honest discussion can make those conflicts either lessened or more aggravated. So I think as leaders, the other thing that we need to do to support project teams that are working on our behalf is to make sure that we're creating an environment where people feel like they can come forward with risks and to describe them, and not that the leadership is going to be, you know, quote unquote, shooting the messenger when a risk is raised. I think that's that is our key challenge, is to not take the bad information or the risk as bad information, but really celebrate when we've identified a risk early and encourage our teams to be coming forward with those risks, as well as with solutions for those risks, not just the risks themselves.
Now, once we did say in the beginning that, IT risk, there is nothing like IT risk. It is all essentially a business risk. Is that, first of all, true? And if at all there is some you can say disconnect there, then would you say that there are the frameworks that you have in place to basically handle IT risk versus business risks, are they truly aligned and all joined at the hip? Tom?
Yeah, I would say the frameworks, my perspective is that methodology, that frameworks, that governance is very important to have in place to run projects effectively. But they only go so far. And so not only the issue you raised around alignment between, say, enterprise risk management and, the business risk management and IT risk management, how do those stay aligned, but also I think that, you can become overly reliant on just the framework, the risk management framework or the methodology for how you identified risks. I think it really requires that the project teams and made up of both business and IT resources continually evaluate risks on an ongoing basis beyond just what the framework says or the methodology says, but looking at every single situation differently. So some of the things that we use is, trying to really do change management at the level of the impacted employee, not just at the organizational level, setting up networks for active listening opportunities with employees and users of the new system, full engagement with the business clients at all levels, and then probably just continuing to reassess risks by using all those feeders as a management team to make sure that we're assessing that risk all the time and that we're always challenging ourselves to make sure that we're honestly addressing that risk.
First, what's happening in your world with respect to, and do you really truly say that there is nothing like IT risk, and then that's the only framework that should exist is just a business risk framework, and IT should be just a portion of that?
Actually, yes. At the end, yes, they should do the work together. But the practice at the moment is they are still quite wide differentiated from each other. And when you look around also for the frameworks that are around, they are IT, totally IT-related, or they are more business-related. If you look at ISO 31000 or COSO, they are more business-related. COVID, well, IT, and also ITIL and so on, they are more really specific IT-related. And that actually we also recognize in ISACA, so that we were looking for really a framework that's end-to-end. And we said, at the moment, there is no framework around you could use. And we thought about the essentials that should be in such a framework, like it should have a comprehensive view on risk management, means not only just mechanical or technical. It should be either specific for the IT, so for IT risk, but also it should show an end-to-end view, and it should be very business-oriented, and it should also cover as much as possible risk treatment options. And therefore, we had said we have a business case for such a framework, and this framework was actually developed by a development team under my chairing and through a task force, and it's a little bit different from other standards or frameworks or even practices, you can call it like you want, because it knits together risk management in two different ways. First, it provides a way to bring together various slices of IT risk, means change, availability, project, IT service continuity, and so on. And second, it is really designed to link effectively with all the enterprise risk management concepts, or with your risk management concept for the whole enterprise, on approaches such as COSO or even, as I mentioned, ISO 31000. That's together, these factors provide both a comprehensive business view of IT-related business risks. That should help, actually, to put the two together.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And let's at least try to rate the frameworks that exist today. I mean, one is that we keep building them, and Urs, you just chaired one initiative where you did build this IT risk framework. But is there something left which still is the future state and we are striving towards it, or is this all done and it's a matter of how well do we implement these frameworks? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and discuss.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Hello, this is Red Hat. The vast majority of cloud computing solutions being built today are using open source technologies. In fact, industry analysts tell us that 80% of early clouds are using open source as the key infrastructure. Most of these are being built by Red Hat customers. The benefit for end customers in the entire industry is a new level of openness and interoperability that only open source enables. We at Red Hat, along with our customers in the open source community, are proud to be leading the charge to this new model of computing.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Tom, we've seen these different frameworks created for business as well as IT. And you are maybe on the receiving end, and you're to implement them for best results. Do you have anything to challenge with respect to how these frameworks are, how comprehensive and how exhaustive they are? And that could be the missing link, if you will. So you might be able to implement, but if the framework has issues or gaps, then of course, you know, there's a gap overall.
Well, you know, our corporation has been using COSO for quite a while from a governance and risk management standpoint, and IT implemented a earlier version of COBIT in, I think, 2004 or 2005. You know, in general, I'd say that those risk management frameworks help. I think what Urs had mentioned relative to trying to evolve these frameworks so that they become more specific to how projects represent risk in organizations, and also that translator between the what's in the IT head, IT person's head, and what's in the business person's head, that translator engine of risk to be able to essentially figure out how to talk in each other's language and assess risk on one unified scale. That's probably the piece that's missing. You know, we have in IT a system delivery lifecycle methodology in addition to COBIT, and those two have to work in concert to effectively help us manage project risk within our overall IT governance framework. So that's something that we've tried to link very aggressively, but I think there is more work to do both on our side and also in these frameworks.
So, Urs, would you say that you would have the version next version come out which will have any more things that you put in today?
Yes, actually. As Tom said, they based it on COSO on the business side, more or less, and for IT they used COBIT, an earlier version, but that doesn't matter, actually. And we looked at the completeness of risk management scope in a framework, and we also looked at the depth of coverage of IT specific. So at the moment, Tom uses two frameworks, very good, and we looked for actually this missing link, this gap that you had in this area to link the both together. And we based actually the new Risk IT framework that will be published at the beginning of, or in the first half of October, it will be ready for publishing, including a separate practitioner's guide. We based it on COBIT, so it's more the whole risk management part and also the IT part, because you have a lot of things in there to choose from. It's not a framework, actually, that you have to implement one-to-one. It's more a sampling of ways for you how you could do IT risk management, also how you could link it to the enterprise risk management. So the whole framework actually is divided in three domains, and you have the three domains: risk governance, risk evaluation, and risk response. And in risk governance, that's the essential part, that's the start to beginning with. That's really the link with the enterprise risk management. In there, we have described the process like establish and maintain a common risk view, integrate the IT risk management with the enterprise risk management, and also process how to make risk-aware business decisions. And in the other two areas or domains, you have them more the different possibilities in the risk evaluation part, how to collect data, analyze risk, maintain a risk profile, and in the last one, the response, you have articulate risk, manage risk, react to events. And in the practitioner's guide then, you have different possibilities, as example, for IT scenario analysis. We have, for example, six different methods in there how you could express your impact in business terms. So we have this in there. You can choose one that suits you best. So I think with this new risk IT framework, it's not that you don't use COVID any longer. It's more you have to use it together with COVID and together with COSO, but it's more or less giving you the missing link. And you can go and have a look at it and decide this is a process we are really poor, or this is a process we have to use to link the whole thing together. So you don't have to implement the whole thing, but parts of it maybe.
Now, Dom, would you have any problem in kind of implementing a moving target? In the sense when you've got different versions of risk management frameworks that are getting introduced, would you have a problem, convincing the rest of them that, okay, while we have this risk methodology, but there's a new framework that we want to introduce, which will have its own disruptions, if you will?
No, I don't think that's a problem. I think, in fact, actually, it's consistent with our view on risk management, that it's an evolving science, and it's also complemented by the fact that it's an evolving appreciation for risk within organizations. So I think there is a sense that this evolution of how we appreciate, how we evaluate, and how we assess and mitigate risk, that frankly is a journey. I think it's an overused term, but this really is a journey for organizations to learn. And in doing that, they're going to have to make steps that are towards the nirvana of having all of these different frameworks linked. But it's not going to be linked right out of the gate. Neither is their perception of risk going to be linked out of the gate. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, the framework that Urs was mentioning is something that we're looking at right now. It's in internal to our world. We want to make sure that it will complement COBIT and COSO, which we think it will do. We also want to make sure that we can tailor elements of it to our particular system development lifecycle. IT security frameworks, and so forth. Having said all that, the biggest challenge for us is really around developing the skill set in our people, both within IT and within the business, for how we understand and appreciate risk. That's something that is probably just as challenging as finding that missing link on risk management frameworks, but it's also it's so challenging to get people to truly appreciate risk for what it is and be able to communicate it with the relevant stakeholders. That piece is something that's learned and develops over time.
Now, while we have the risk management framework in it allows us to manage when the risk happens, what exactly are we supposed to do, does it also include a way to inventory what the current and the future risks that we could possibly have and then try to, itemize them, on a proactive basis? Tom?
Yeah, I think there's certainly going to be elements that are in the frameworks that walk you through how to do that. But the key is to have a skilled practitioner at the wheel, if you will, that is driving that continual assessment of future risks, the itemization, the reassessment. I mean, really, risk management is about what could happen in the future based on the things that you know today and the things that you don't know about the future. So I do think it's very important to have that educated practitioner at the helm that is operating this risk management framework, whether it be an IT project, whether it be a service delivery, risk management assessment. It really comes down to who's operating it. Are they skilled? Have they been through this before? And do they have the awareness to look forward and to perceive those risks that have not come to fruition yet?
So, Orson, your view, who would be a qualified person who could possibly be at the helm and driving and or implementing or championing the framework that you have created and or other your counterparts may have created?
In my opinion, it depends always on the size of your company and so on. If you have an operational risk management department, if you have a separate or integrated IT risk management department. But actually, at the end, it's responsible, or the responsibility is with the C-level executives. They don't do it, so they have to delegate it to somebody. And these people have to know, actually, IT side, but they should know also how to do risk management, the different possibilities, methods of scenario analysis, the different methods or different qualifications of impact in business terms and all these things. So I agree fully with what Tom just said before. To implement such a framework, you need somebody that's skilled enough as a moderator or facilitator. It's more something like a risk controller or risk facilitator, risk moderator, that should be in the middle to help the people that they are as comprehensive as possible, that they have really methods to do it, to show them the methods, even go through the assessments with them to show them how to do it. So it should be really as soon as you have some kind of person that should be skilled as a moderator, should be have a good knowledge of IT, and should have a very good knowledge of risk management practices, as well as he should be some kind of evangelist for building up a risk culture in the enterprise.
Now, do such unique animals exist as easily? Do you get them as easily? And is there a roadmap that's available for someone who strives to be in that seat?
I think it's very difficult to find them because to have both sides of IT and business and risk management that you have enough understanding, there are not a lot of people around. But in my opinion, they are coming up, and because the need will come. And also there will be some educations on this basis. As example, we have also workshop with ISACA where we teach this framework and exactly these people that should do these jobs in the future. And we had, up to now, there was one workshop we had, a one-day workshop, and when you looked at the people in there, they came from business, they came from Big Four, they came from internal, there were about 25 people in this workshop, but from all the different areas, and at the end, they said, actually, the good thing was we saw from the other parts that we haven't been in, also what we should get as knowledge and so on, and have already got a first step of knowledge through this workshop on the parts we are not in or not working in at the moment. But in my opinion, it will come, but at the moment it's difficult, as you said, to find such an animal.
All right, please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages and look at the fact that, business is changing. and so is the objectives that it has got with respect to the business objectives and corresponding IT objectives. And when it comes to risk management framework that we're talking about, the expectation is that it'll have a set of benchmarks and standards. But then, if it is a moving target with respect to the objectives, how can you have a fluid framework, which in turn would have a fluid set of benchmarks and standards? That means you don't have one thing that you can target. Is it too easy? What would it take for us to have something which is stationary, but at the same time is something that you can work towards, but then you also have to handle the business challenges, the fluidity, that the speed at which the business is moving. So how do you eat the cake and have it too? Let's talk more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Hello, this is Red Hat. The vast majority of cloud computing solutions being built today are using open source technologies. In fact, industry analysts tell us that 80% of early clouds are using open source as the key infrastructure. Most of these are being built by Red Hat customers. The benefit for end customers in the entire industry is a new level of openness and interoperability that only open source enables. We at Red Hat, along with our customers and the open source community, are proud to be leading the charge to this new model of computing.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Welcome back. So we're talking about this Catch-22. You were a moving target with respect to business changing at a warp speed and the objectives changing. And then you're trying to align your framework with the set of business objectives. So with the benchmark and standards which are to follow a moving set of objectives, could you in the first place have a framework? And how do you deal with this, Tom?
Well, I think it is very difficult to have a fixed set of benchmarks relative to risk management, given that it's truly an evolving area. I think that it doesn't mean that you don't try to have that. I think you should try to have a set of comparison benchmarks relative to risk that you can use at least as an internal measure of how effectively you are managing risks and how effectively you're identifying risks. And then hopefully an external benchmark that can be compared against other companies. But I'll tell you what, for us, it really comes down to making sure that we are constantly assessing risks in everything we're doing. We're, as an example, we put a lot of emphasis on operational excellence at Exelon in our business units and in our IT group. And what we often discover is that when an issue occurs, it's based on some risk that was introduced, you know, a long time ago, that there was some decision made, a design decision that was made significant, you know, months and months or years ago, that now is coming to fruition as an issue. So for us, the risk management beyond the metrics and framework really comes to how can you have your employees be more aware of human factors and human performance relative to the risk they could be introducing in the pipeline early that come to fruition later. How do you have that level of perception around risk management beyond the frameworks and beyond the metrics so that your employees that are carrying that risk around with them every day are effectively being good guardians of your assets?
Now, Urs, do you see that this moving target issue, because when you were creating one of this benchmark, is there a way your framework safeguards against the changing objective so that it automatically flows through and it makes the required changes, or at least provides you a way to make changes to the framework for a given organization as its business objectives change?
Okay, actually, the framework itself, you don't have to change also. The framework gives you more the method how to do it, but not actually the detailed risks or so. And in the framework also, that I said, it's business related. You have actually business goals, and these business goals you have to have in mind, and as Tom said, it's more the whole thing about the risk culture in your company, that everybody knows we have to be either way risk aware, but we also have to take risks to realize benefits and so on. That's one thing, that to have the risk culture. And the other thing is to have a, as Tom said, consistently or permanent way to assess risks and to identify these risks. And this actually is the framework that it should help you to have a permanent risk assessment or a process in the company that you can consistently identify also new risks, change your existing risks and so on, or reassess your existing risks. And the framework should be there to help you do this, and not that the framework will show you this is a specific risk, this is a specific risk. So I don't see any problems with implementing a framework and that business objectives couldn't be aligned because of a framework or a change of a framework.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you both, Tim and Urs, for sharing your thought about how IT, while can help bring about great benefits, could also bring some you know, risks which have to be effectively managed, and what are the ways by which companies can effectively manage those risks and get the most out of technology.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, if you have any questions and or views about how IT risk is being handled in your respective organizations and how it should be handled, what framework should look like, and how you can best utilize the new IT initiatives while managing risk to get the most for your organizations, please send us your thoughts and views to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjay Agarwal, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Agarwal next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.